Great book. Love this book. I've loved every single section, every single verse in this book. Chapter 2, I think, can be encapsulated by verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This mind, you know, what mind or whose mind? Well, it was Jesus' mind. And Paul showed us in chapter 2, Jesus's his deity, his humility, his others-centeredness, and then he exhorted us to be like Jesus. Let this mind be in you, to be humble, to be selfless, to be other-centered, and putting others before ourselves just as Jesus did. Paul's life was an example of this. And in verse 17, it told us that he said, my life is being poured out like a drink offering. And his life was all about Christ. In the first chapter, he said, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And he lived for Christ and he served Christ. That was his passion. That was his whole being, was serving Christ, preaching the gospel. And he did so, and at this time had been arrested and is in prison writing this letter to them. Just because he loved the Lord and he loved people and he obeyed the call of God on his life. And he most certainly was like Jesus in being other-centered. And then he gave the example of Timothy, of him being like-minded and like-minded with Paul, for his love for these Philippian believers, and like-minded with Christ, which meant Timothy was others-centered. He cared for the Philippian believers more than anyone else, that Paul could send him to him. And I really liked what Morgan brought out last week about Timothy's proven character. You know how sometimes when you're reading or you hear something and it's just like one or two words just stick out to you? Well, that proven character, that just hit me. And I liked what she said. She said that his character had been tested. It was proven not by what he knew, but by what he did. And that he was tried by experience. And I thought about that with our own lives. And how we can have all this knowledge, and yet it has to be proven that what has gone in is going to look like Christ when we're going through those times of trial. And the Lord gives us plenty of testings to prove our character, to take the knowledge that we've gained and to show that it really has shaped our lives. And Paul said, Timothy's character was proven. Yes, he was like-minded. He let this mind be in him that was also in Christ Jesus. And then now he closes the chapter by giving us one more example of Jesus in letting this mind be in you. And that was in the man Epaphroditus. Now, the Lord, for me, and I've told you before, Philippians has been one of my favorite books, and it's just... a lot of those verses are deep within my heart. And this passage that we're going to look at tonight about Epaphroditus, the Lord has, from the first time I heard it, has really used this in my life. Because, as it says, for the work of Christ, he came close to death, not regarding his life. And that's always stung me. And I ask myself, am I called to anything less than that? Verse 25, Paul says, yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick, almost unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem, because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. So the Philippian church, they sent Epaphroditus to Paul in Rome with a gift of money. And we read that in chapter 4, where they had given him a certain, you know, amount of money to carry with him to take to Paul, because in those days when you were in prison, you had to have somebody, your family, friends, take care of your physical needs, because they didn't do what our prisons do today. So you had to have someone support you while you were chained. And so the Philippian church, out of their love for Paul and how he had ministered to them, they sent this gift of money, and they sent it in the hands of Epaphroditus. But they not only just sent the money with him, they sent him to deliver that money, but then to assist Paul, to help Paul in whatever way he needed. Now in verse 30, when Paul said that Epaphroditus supplied what was lacking in your service toward them, he didn't mean that as a slam or anything like that. What it means is the Philippian church, each person could not physically go to visit Paul. They were lacking. They couldn't do it. How could they all do that? So they just take this one man and send him. And Paul recognized that. They sent him as an ambassador, as a messenger, to minister to Paul. It was a journey of at least 700 miles. And you know the conditions there. You can just hop on a plane or a train or even a nice boat. You know, it was rough traveling 700 miles to get to Paul. And so they probably had in mind that he stay there for a while, or indefinitely, to help Paul, to assist him. And what a privilege that would have been, and what a privilege for that church to be able to send Epaphroditus to the Apostle Paul, who was in need at that time. So either on the journey or because of the journey or while he was there, and we don't know how long he was there, Epaphroditus became very, very sick, close to death. It looked like Paul was going to lose him. And Epaphroditus, which just shows his other centeredness, he was concerned that when the Philippian church heard that he was sick, that maybe they would blame themselves. Well, we shouldn't have sent him, or we should have waited till spring or summer, or, you know, those kind of things that we can do. And that they would blame themselves, and he cared about them and didn't want them to be thinking badly, and he became homesick, and so Paul eventually then sent him back along with this letter that he wrote to the Philippians. Now Paul let the Philippians know that the reason that he's sending him back, so that they wouldn't think wrongly of him, that, oh, he failed, or Paul didn't like him, or he wasn't meeting his needs, or anything like that. He just communicated, which is, don't you love it when people communicate to you so you don't have to guess and try to fill in the blanks? And when we fill in the blanks, we always fill them in wrong. You know, so he just simply communicated that Epaphroditus, he risked his own life to do what they couldn't do. They would want to do it, but they couldn't do it. And he risked his life to do that. And they were to receive him and welcome him and honor him when he came home. Now, Epaphroditus, he really did have this mind. Let this mind, the mind of Jesus, because he was humble. He was other-centered, and he was a servant. Paul refers to him as my brother. They were brothers in Christ. He referred to him really as his equal in Christ. And to me, this shows Paul's humility. He's the Apostle Paul. I mean, he could have, you know, put himself up here and this is just a mere servant. But he called him my brother. He's my brother in Christ. We're equal. And then he said that he was his fellow worker. And that word fellow, it's companion. He was Paul's companion. Just right alongside, supporting Paul. Serving side by side, having the same mind. It shows that Epaphroditus was a team player. He wasn't a solo guy. He wasn't an island. He was a team player. He was a part of God's family. Paul was his brother in Christ. He was there to minister to the need, to stand with him side by side, to support him, to serve him, to help him in whatever way he could. It said that he was his fellow soldier. Now, Paul was in a battle. I mean, he was imprisoned because of his preaching the gospel. There was a lot of opposition, for the Apostle Paul, from the Romans, from the unbelievers, and from the Jews. He was always in the thick of the battle. And Epaphroditus was his fellow soldier. He came there to stand with Paul. He came there with his shield of faith to then lock it together with Paul's shield of faith to make it stronger. He came there to stand with Paul in this battle and to take some of the hits for Paul. To say, hit me, leave him alone, hit me, I'll take it. I'm here to serve him and to help him. They were fighting the same battle, same cause for Jesus. He shared Paul's spiritual life as a brother. He shared in the labors, being that fellow worker, and he shared in the dangers of being that fellow soldier. And Paul also said that he was a messenger, and that is an ambassador. He represented the church at Philippi. He didn't go there on his own. He did not have his own agenda, his own plans of, okay, this is just a step to what I'm going to do after this or that kind of a thing. No. He was an ambassador. He said, the church said, we want to send you. This is what we want you to do. I'm going as a representative of this church, as a representative of the Lord. And he went. It wasn't about him at all. He had one purpose, serving the Lord and serving the Apostle Paul. He was a servant. Paul says he ministered to my need. He willingly took that role of a servant, as an assistant. The second guy. The guy who will do whatever needs to be done. He was willing to do just the common, the menial, the practical, as well as the spiritual. I mean, he might have, you know, you could have thought, oh, it's the Apostle Paul, will have all these conversations and I'll be one of those, you know, kind of guys that people look at me for wisdom. No, he went there, I'm going to sweep and I'm going to clean up and I'm going to give him food and I'm going to take care of the needs that he has and I'm going to take the hits and I'm going to be a servant. What does he need? That's my job. That's what I want to do. He gave his all, his 100% for the work of Christ. He came close to death. And in this, there's no rebuke for him getting sick. And I know that's just, you know, that's kind of a side thing. But there can be sickness in the will of God, in serving the Lord. The Lord can heal. The Lord can heal miraculously, instantly. The Lord can heal through doctors, through whatever he wants to do. But Epaphroditus was right in the center of his will. And he was sick almost to death. Now, in all this, I always ask myself, do you think he went beyond, above and beyond the call of duty, this man Epaphroditus, who gave his all, 700 miles, to go and serve the Apostle Paul, to live in a prison with him, in a very uncomfortable living situation. You go out and get your own food, you have to do this, you have to do that, all of that. And do you think he went above and beyond the call of duty because he worked himself to the point of death? I don't think he did. I think that's what he was called to do. I think that we can look at people like that. We admire people like that. And we think, wow, they really have gone above and beyond the call of duty. I think we're all called to that. Jesus gave his life away, and we're to give our lives away. He didn't regard his life. That is a selfless person. He didn't even give thought to himself. We don't know what went on privately between him and the Lord and the thoughts. He's human just like the rest of us. I'm sure he had his moments. But the Apostle Paul didn't see that. He just looked at this man saying, he's not thinking of himself here. He's thinking of me, of the work of Christ here. Epaphroditus didn't think about how he felt. Well, now let's see. Is that going to inconvenience me? Do I really have time for this? Is that going to put me out here? What will that mean for my future? You know, all of those kind of things that can certainly go on in our minds. He didn't do that. He just thought, what do you want me to do, Lord? Okay, that's what I'll do. And then he went and did it. And doesn't that sound like Jesus, who emptied himself, made himself of no reputation, and he came as a servant, and he came to do the will of the Father. Not my will, but yours be done. I do only those things that please the Father. And he gave his life. It sounds like Jesus, Epaphroditus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I mentioned at the beginning, the Lord has always used this passage in my life. I need to be exhorted. I need to be reminded. I need to be stirred up and pushed on because I have a flesh just like yours. And left to myself, it's not very pretty. I have always admired his drive, his passion, his steadfastness, and his perseverance. That he would work himself to the point of death for the Lord. That he would give his all, that he would give 100%. In whatever the Lord had called him to do, and he gave 100%. And the Lord, as I said, has always used this to exhort me, to encourage me, to teach me, to sharpen me, to refine me throughout almost 30 years. It'll be 30 years next month. No, this month. This is a new month. And when I have been tired, and I get tired, and the older I get, the tireder I get, where you're ready to slack off maybe a little bit. When I was younger and I looked at older people, I didn't quite understand that. I didn't quite understand the women when I would hear them say, not that I think it's right today, but what I hear them say is, oh no, I've already served in the nursery. I put in my time. I never understood that. I understand that now because that little bit of an attitude can be in me and I'm going to fight it. And the Lord's going to use this passage to help me to fight that attitude. Because when you get older, you can get that way. And it stinks. It really does. So he's used this in my life when I want to slack off. When I don't want to give 100%. Maybe I only want to give 50, 75, 22. I'm being honest. And I know that if you were being honest, you'd say the same thing. Or when I just want to quit altogether. I'm done. Can't you retire at 51? And then I read this passage, and it just stings. It stings. Because am I called to anything less than he? No, I'm not called to anything less. And I don't think you're called to anything less, too. I think Christians, this is what we're called to. We're called to give our 100% to the Lord all the time. When we're 20, when we're 30, when we're 40, when we're 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. All the way until we see him face to face. So if I am to let this mind be in me as it is in Jesus, I can follow Epaphroditus' example. He was a brother in the Lord. And here we are, sisters in the Lord. Family. We are the part of the body of Christ. Isn't that wonderful that we have this family? Now, some of you may have a really close relationship with a blood sister. And that's wonderful. And some of you may not know what that's like at all. Yet we can have that with one another in the body of Christ as a family. We are sisters in the Lord and we are striving together for the gospel, for Jesus. We're going in the same direction. It's the same Jesus that we love and that we serve. And I think it's just a nice reminder that we're sisters. Okay, we're a team here. We are a team. And I'm not saying that there is, but there shouldn't be any kind of fighting or any kind of anything. We are family. We are in this together. We are a part of women's ministry at Calvary Chapel, Modesto. We're all family here. We're fellow workers. We need to be fellow workers. Companions with one another. Now, if we're married, we are a fellow worker with our husband. If we have a friend, we are a fellow worker with our friend. In ministry, as we serve, we are fellow workers. We are co-laborers. So we are to support one another. So if I'm to be like Epaphroditus, who is like Jesus, then I'm going to come alongside and support. You're going to come alongside and support. We're going to serve side by side. We're going to share in the labor. Not just one person doing the work. Two people, three people. No, we're all going to cooperate. We're all going to serve side by side. We should all be of the same mind. A team player, no solos. There should be no soloists in the body of Christ. Sometimes we have a tendency to do that. We want to do something for the Lord, but we don't want anybody else helping. Touch my stuff. But we're to be a team. And we're to learn, boy, does the Lord teach us a lot by working with one another. Because you learn to work with so many different personality types that you would not choose, but it's good for us. So in a marriage, in a friendship, in ministry, in the church here, we all need to come alongside to help one another. And we need to work. He said, fellow worker, work. That's an action word. It's doing. We need to work. We need to get up and move and do it. And sometimes the Lord has to come in pretty strong. And he uses this passage where maybe you don't want to do something. Maybe you're tired. And he can just come in and say, get up and move. If you are a mother, you have said that to your children.
Get up and move. I don't care if you don't want to do it. Do it anyway. Perhaps the Lord is speaking to some of us tonight. And we are fellow soldiers. And we're in a battle. You know what? This battle doesn't go away. We get little bits of reprieve, but that's about it. It's a battle, and it's getting hotter and it's getting harder. And we need to be a fellow soldier, to stand by one another and help in this battle. We are to lock shields together so that there's a solid wall. We can do that through prayer, where we pray for one another. And I don't know when, but it's coming down the road. We're going to have a women's prayer meeting. We need to all be there to pray with one another and pray for one another. It strengthens us as a body. And we need to be a fellow soldier and support one another, encourage one another. You know, I don't know, especially with women, given our cycles, we are in every phase in a cycle in this room. You know, nobody's normal here. Okay? So we all need help, you know. So when we're doing well, you know, you have those days where maybe you actually do well. Go find somebody who's not and encourage them. Get in the battle with them and help them, because we can lose sight pretty quickly. And we are to take some of the hits for one another. You know that? In a marriage, in a family, in friendship, and in ministry, in all areas of our life, to be other-centered, to take some of those hits. Take the blame. When's the last time you took the blame for your husband? You don't ever want to say to your children, "Well, I would, but your father, you're not taking the hit. Take the hit." And in a friendship, stand up. Let's stand up for one another. And within us as women in this fellowship, stand up for one another and be willing to take the blame, be willing to take the hit, the fiery dart, give somebody else relief, and stand. Nehemiah 4:14 said, "Do not be afraid of them, your enemy. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your house." We are in a battle. We need to be fellow soldiers with one another. Warren Wiersbe said, "Some Christians think only of the fellowship, you know, the brothers, we're sisters, and they have no time to work, to win souls, or to fight the enemy. Others are so wrapped up in working, serving, that they forget fellowship. And still others are always in the battle. They're always fighting, so much so that they neglect the fellowship and the service. We need to be balanced Christians." Balanced Christians. And I like that. And we can, you know, ask the Lord, show you. Am I balanced here? Am I a fellow sister? Am I a fellow worker? And am I a fellow soldier in this church, in this body, in my life, with my friends and at home? Am I balanced in that way? That we are sharing in the spiritual life of others as sisters, yeah. But we're also sharing in their labors and in their dangers as a soldier. We are messengers. We are ambassadors. We represent Jesus to others. Our lives are not our own. An ambassador is just, they don't give their opinion, their agenda at all. It is, if I'm representing this country or whatever it might be, I am going, representing them. I'm gone. I don't give thought to myself, just like Epaphroditus, who did not regard his life. So it's not about us. It's not about what we want, what our agenda is, not our will, but his. It's selfless life, a selfless life. And if we are not used to thinking in those terms, we need to.
You know, if we're used to always thinking about, well, how's this going to affect me? Go through the list. That's not the mind of Christ. We are also servants, as Epaphroditus. We're to be ministers, servants. We are called to serve, and we are sent to serve. The Philippian church sent him to serve. We get sent to serve. We get sent all the time by the Lord. Are we listening? Are we hearing him send us? Are we hearing, you know, somebody else say something about a need? He could be speaking to us through them, that we hear that need and we're to be sent out to go meet that need. We're to go wherever the Lord tells us to go, to serve him in whatever way he tells us to serve him. Willing to do the common, the menial, the practical, as well as the spiritual. We are his ambassadors and his servants, and we, when we hear the need, we need to volunteer. We need to step forward. There is a balance, but very few of us, I think, are balanced. We're either way over here protecting our schedules and our lives so much, or we're over here saying yes to everything, going, running ourselves and making ourselves crazy. You know, there is balance. There needs to be balance. So when I hear that need, I can't just shut my ear to it, and I can't just volunteer immediately. Okay, Lord, do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? I'm here. I want to be a fellow worker. I want to be a fellow soldier here. What can I do? He may be calling us to clean somebody's house, to give a meal, to babysit, to bring flowers, a card, send an email, you know, whatever. Those are just easy little things. And for the sick, in those who need it, yes, but you know what? There are a lot of other people who need it, and they're not sick. They're going through something really hard. Or it's just an encouragement. I mean, when is the last time you walked up to somebody who's doing great and telling them, I just really appreciate it that you're doing great. You know, we don't think in those terms. And sometimes when people are doing really well, they get overlooked and neglected. And then the enemy can come in and hit them. Does that make sense, what I was saying? Okay. It made sense in my mind. I remember years and years ago that I wasn't sick. You know, I was going through something. I was a little discouraged. And this was totally the Lord, because it just never happened again. And it just was kind of weird the way that it happened. I was home all, I think it was a Saturday, all alone. I don't know why. I don't know where everybody was. My kids were little. I don't know. I don't remember. It was a nice day, and there was a knock on my door, and a girl from church. And this was like forever ago. I knew her, but I didn't know her very well. Well, she was out riding her bike, and she just thought she'd stop by, which is really strange. You know, just like really strange. So she came in and we talked and talked. I tell you, the Lord used her. He just spoke through her to me, to the need that I had, to encourage me. She had no clue whatsoever. And I was dumbfounded. I thought, I cannot believe this. And we said goodbye and left, and that was it, you know. She was sent. I mean, that's just a little example. But she was sent to minister to a need that I had. Don't you want to be that person on the bike? You know, yeah. We are to give our all, just like Epaphroditus did, 100%. For the work of Christ, he came close to death. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Heartily. That means with my whole heart. 100%. No leftovers. And nothing less. That might sting a little bit. You know, is there an area? Areas that I have not been giving 100%. And I've been giving him leftovers. You know what? 99% is not 100%. We need to give our all. 1 John 3:16 says, by this we know love, because Jesus, he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That sounds like Epaphroditus. That sounds like somebody who's not giving thought to themselves. And we aren't to give thought to ourselves. We're not to run things through this, how do I feel about that? Or, well, do I really have time for that? Probably not. You probably don't have time for it, because if you're like everybody else, you jam your schedule so full that you don't have time. But go ahead and do it anyway, because if he's telling us to do it anyway, he's going to give us the time. Or the other thing that we thought was so important, it just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. So we can't filter things by, is this an inconvenience for me? Is this, do I have time for this? How is this going to work? What do you want me to do, Lord? And then I want to do that. And I want to do it with everything I have. Everything. Full on. Bill McDonald said, it is better to burn out for Christ than to rust out. It is better to die on the service of Jesus than to be counted in a mere statistic among those who die in an accident or just happens. To die in the service of the Lord, to be like Epaphroditus, where we're going to not regard our life and give our all. Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Jesus said in Luke 9, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, a message like this is not fun to give, and it's probably not that fun to hear, because it stings. It does sting. I would rather not say all those things. I would rather tell you you're fine and dandy and you're okay, and I know how hard it is, honey. You know, all those things. But we need to hear it. I need to hear it. I need the exhortation. We are living in the last days, and we are getting more and more and more selfish and self-absorbed. And the longer we walk with the Lord and the older we get so comfy and we turn and we just make up our own little Christian life and our own little things. And we don't serve him with the fervor that we used to serve him with. Well, let that not be said about any of us, okay? Let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in me. And Lord, that is my heart's cry. And I know for my sisters tonight, Lord, that they want the same. Lord, we confess to you our shortcomings, our weaknesses, our when we give our 10%, our 20, our 90, or whatever it might be, Lord. We want to give our all, 100%. And we don't want to give thought to ourselves. We don't want to be hung up on ourselves. Help us to give our lives away, Lord. Help us to take all the lessons in this chapter 2, just so good, so rich, and put them into practice. Give us ears to hear what you're speaking to us. And Lord, I just pray that you would do a great and mighty work in us and through us because of this, and because we're going to yield our lives to you and allow you to work. And I thank you, Lord, for that. I pray that you go before each one of us. Bless our conversations in our groups, Lord. Bless my sisters. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. And I know we were late, so run to your groups.